This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Morning Run with Philip C and I'm Wong Xiaoning. 7:37 Monday, the 22nd of August. And as usual, after the 8 a.m. news bulletin, we're going to have the breakfast grill. Who is in the hot seat today?
Well, I think this one will be particularly interesting for those of you who are industrious, who go to the gym before heading to work. Well, I don't know what you mean, because I'm definitely not one of them, because Keith Kam will be speaking to James Lin. He's the director of Techno Gym Malaysia. Because when you think of Italian design, what typically springs to mind, right, for you, Xiaoning, it's fashion, handbags, shoes, isn't it?
Food.
Yeah, but definitely not gym equipment.
Gelato.
Yeah, well, all the things which actually the next speaker doesn't want you to take, right? Because today we're going to be speaking to Techno Gym, because they're no ordinary gym equipment maker, founded in 1983. They don't only produce and sell exercise equipment, but offer holistic technology-driven fitness solutions built around the business of wellness. Now, today it's a $2.4 billion company listed on the Milan Stock Exchange and is present in over 100 countries. So Keith Kam speaks to its director for Malaysia, James Lin, about Techno Gym's presence in Malaysia and the business of fitness.
Interesting stuff, because I know this is big money globally. But in the meantime, we shift our attention to Indonesia as President Joko Widodo, or Jokowi, unveils his budget 2023. Now, the president expects the economy to grow between 5.1 to 5.4%, with expectations of the performance to be sustained in 2023 at 5.3%, driven by a recovery in domestic demand and improvement in exports.
Now, Indonesia has also said that it will continue with its fiscal consolidation efforts to return the budget deficit below a mandated 3% of GDP next year as pressure from the pandemic eases, marking the end of 3 years of debt-fueled spending to see Indonesia through its COVID-19 disruptions. Now, Southeast Asia's largest economy will reduce its 2023 borrowing plans by 8% to 686.3 trillion rupiah, or equivalent to about $47 billion, its lowest since 2019, amid cuts to its healthcare and social protection budgets, as well as a sharp reduction in subsidies and compensation payments.
So, is the fiscal discipline exercise a prudent tale of managing anticipated volatility and or uncertainty, or an overly conservative approach that limits Indonesia from fulfilling its full potential to drive economic growth for the years to come? For an answer on this, we have on the line with us Crystal Tan, economist at ANZ Bank. Good morning, Crystal. Now, do you think that President Jokowi lowballed his GDP estimate of 5.3%?
Hi, good morning. So the 5.3% growth estimate for 2023 is a pretty reasonable estimate, actually. If we look at Indonesia's growth pre-pandemic, it typically doesn't deviate very far from 5%. But the average, five-year average before the pandemic, is 5.0%. So this year, in the first half of the year so far, we've had growth about 5.2%. And the government has mentioned estimating full-year growth at about 5.1 to 5.4. It does look quite achievable. The environment has been quite conducive. I mean, there's been a boost from reopening and also the global commodity price surge. But I would say going into 2023, some of these tailwinds may actually fade. So if anything, the balance of risk for 5.3% growth next year is probably tilted a bit to the downside.
So I guess the tilting to the downside is perhaps driven by their concerns of these geopolitical uncertainties, right? What do you think are the biggest uncertainties that could have the most impact on Indonesia's economy?
I would say a sharp correction in global commodity prices is probably among the top risk. So one of the key reasons why Indonesia has done well is high commodity prices. It's a key producer of many key commodities that have seen a sharp surge in prices this year, including coal. It's a net energy exporter. So basically it benefits when, you know, energy prices are high. So these have helped push up Indonesia's terms of trade, its current income surplus. It's also given fiscal revenues a huge boost. And that has in turn enabled the government to implement very generous subsidy policies to keep domestic energy prices low. So low energy prices have in turn kept inflation modest, protected consumers' purchasing power. So it's been very helpful in nurturing the recovery. But if we see a sharp reversal in commodity price trends, then these external and fiscal buffers will dissipate for Indonesia. And there will be a negative impact on growth through the export, fiscal, and investment channels.
At the same time, Crystal, what do you think about Indonesia's fiscal prudence for this year and next year? They seem to be very focused on fiscal consolidation. Do you not think that the economy needs infrastructure, especially since there's supposed to be a new state capital, Nusantara?
Yes, the 2023 budget bill clearly signals the government's focus on fiscal consolidation, right? So for 2022, it's projecting a deficit of just under 4% of GDP, and then narrower to about 2.85% of GDP in 2023. But in Indonesia's case, it actually has a 3% of GDP deficit target that was suspended from 2020 to 2022 during the pandemic. So effectively, this 2023 target is bringing things to normal. And the economy is recovering, so pandemic-era stimulus is being withdrawn. Even the last few years, the government had to allocate significant funds towards handling the pandemic, right, including healthcare-related costs, including support for businesses to withstand the various mobility restrictions. But with the economy now pretty much reopened, the government has scoped to cut back on these exceptional expenditures. And if we look at the breakdown, the consolidation is not coming at the cost of infrastructure. So the new state capital, Nusantara, has been identified as one of the priority projects in the 2023 budget. It has a funding allocation of more than 20 trillion rupiah. And more broadly, the infrastructure budget has also been increased, right? It's about 392 trillion in 2023. That's up roughly 8% year on year.
And so let's all shift our attention to the economic structure, because Jokowi did talk about shifting from being commodity focused to moving downstream and producing more value added goods, right? What do you see are the policies, incentives and capital put in place to basically make that successful shift economic wise?
Yes, so shifting up the value chain has certainly been a long-standing goal for Indonesia, and they have certainly taken some steps that have brought it closer towards its goal. So if we take a nickel, for example, so exports of unprocessed nickel ore were halted in 2020. And since then, there's been a rise in mining investments, especially in the mineral processing area, and also exports of nickel-derived products like stainless steel have surged. So that's helped improve the trade balance. I'd say more broadly, we've seen quite good reform momentum in Indonesia in recent years. For example, the Omnibus Law in 2020, that seek to tackle some of the long-standing impediments to Indonesia's investment climate, streamlines regulations, cut red tape, ease some of the foreign investment restrictions, address some of the labor market rigidity. So that's a positive. And then there's also the tax reform last year that basically aims to widen the tax base and increase the scope for the government to increase public spending on key development projects, including infrastructure. So, continuing this momentum with more labor market and financial market reforms that further improve the investment climate, improvements to education and the governance frameworks, and greening in this energy system, I think will be important to take Indonesia even closer towards its goal.
Yeah, but at the same time, there's supposed to be a nickel tax, right? So how will that impact government coffers? And on the downside, will it have an impact on nickel production in the country?
It's difficult to assess the impact of a potential tax on nickel exports at this stage. It's going to depend on quite a lot of things. So like what's the tax rate that's going to be applied? What products will be affected? Is it broad or is it targeted to its specific segments like nickel pig iron that has lower nickel content? And similarly, the impact on production is going to vary on various factors that we still don't have clarity on yet. So for example, whether global demand is strong enough so that the loss in export competitiveness from the additional tax still makes it attractive for producers to maintain output, or if the tax becomes onerous enough that it discourages production because domestic demand is not sufficient. So we need more clarity if there will also be more other policies in place aimed at shifting dynamics within the nickel sector. So as an example, there are reports suggesting that the government may plan to limit the construction of smelters and production of lower content nickel products to encourage the development of the higher content ones. But so in which case, production could be affected if the capacity to produce the higher content products are not in place. So yeah, we have to wait for more details.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Crystal Tan, economist at ANZ Bank, giving us her view on the Indonesian economy, which actually does look rather positive. It's got all the right ingredients, a large population, very much trying to extend its economy beyond commodities. But of course, commodities gives it its much needed boost at this current time.
It's also very interesting that I think this budget also feels very conservative, where I think they're trying to reinstate fiscal prudence and spending. Perhaps it's the time to do it because this is the second last budget for Jokowi. Mm. Next year's budget, probably we expect a bit more populism as we head into the 2024 elections. But for this year, I think the focus really is fiscal conservatism and prudence.
Well, it makes sense, right? Because if your economy is doing well and you expect your GDP to be 5.3%, is exactly at this moment where you should take advantage.
You can tighten a bit.
Yes, you can tighten a bit, improve the savings within the country. I wonder whether anybody here is listening.
Well, that's the issue, right? The timing of elections perhaps also drives all these considerations.
For sure, but somebody has to be the adult in the room, right?
The room.
Yeah, and basically look at fiscal reform more seriously. Fiscal consolidation is something that many countries in Asia, we really need to look at more seriously. Because, we weathered the pandemic pretty well, but do we have enough buffer to weather another crisis? Do we have the capacity to do so if we don't really tighten our belts a little bit? I think those are the questions I would like the politicians to answer us. But up next, we'll be speaking to criminal lawyer Goh Chia Yi on Dato' Sri Najib's SRC appeal. Stay tuned for that, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.